This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, hello there, Mike.
Well, hello there. How are you today?
Just great. How about that weather, huh?
It's perfect. This is how I want it to stay every day until...
Beautiful.
Until, you know,
the end of time.
December.
December. Well, okay. We can be cold in Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. Well, this is the show you've been waiting for all week, I know. And you want to know what to do with your lawn, your trees, your shrubs, your fertilizing, your watering, and all the other stuff that you're going
with. Yeah, I did hear some mowers over the weekend.
What do I do now? Well, I tried to mow the other day, and my mower kind of blew up on me.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, great. Thanks. And my grass is only about 10 inches tall.
Oh, geez.
But I don't have any neighbors that can see it, so who cares? Other than it's going to take me, when I get the mower back, it's going to take me a time.
What'd you do? Just quit on you? Or?
Well, apparently the gaskets just kind of gave out. So.
Well,
it was spitting smoke and all kinds of stuff. So
nice.
I called old Earl from Umpqua Valley Tractor. He's my man. He's towed it in there, and I just saw him about an hour ago, and he showed me what was going on, and... Okay, she was.
It must have been an older one.
Well, I've only had it about 15, 20 years.
Oh, we'll see.
I mean, the piece of junk didn't last very long.
No.
Mm-hmm. And I bought it from those guys. Geez Louise.
It was probably used.
Yeah. No, it was pretty clean when I bought it. They just washed it, so they got all the old dirt off.
Nice.
Anyway, thank you for listening today. And if you have any questions about your lawns, your trees, your shrubs, your fertilizing, thatching, whatever, you can call and ask whatever question you might want to know the answer to. And the number is 673-4464, 673-4464, and we'll get you right in here. Now, if you don't want to call there, you can also hear the show on 541radio.com for you techies out there.
Boy, you're getting up there.
I know. I even said the right words there.
You did.
Yeah, you know, my flip phone has taught me all of this.
Mine too.
Oh, gosh, I'll tell you.
Well, you've seen mine. It really is a flip phone.
Well, mine is also. I don't know if you've seen it, but mine's probably smaller than yours.
Is it?
Yeah. You know, my brother had a heart problem here a few months back.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave him several monitors and all this. And on his phone that he has, he pushes a button on his watch that he has.
Oh, yeah.
He presses a button and tells him how many heartbeats per second or per minute or per hour. Or he'll get messages like, hey, you didn't take your meds on time. I mean, this is on his little watch.
A Dick Tracy watch.
I know. I said, boy, I'll tell you what, Big Brother's watching you, baby.
I bet 85% of our audience said, who's Dick Tracy?
Yeah, well, he was a private eye.
Yes, he was.
Way back in the olden days.
Animated,
yeah. Oh, gosh. You know, Kyle made a disparaging remark about me this morning on his radio program. Yeah. He said, you know, today, 4 o'clock, Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, and the Commissioner of Dirt. And then he says, he just had a birthday. He's older than dirt.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
No.
I hope you're listening, Kyle, because I'm going to get you.
Well, I think he is. I saw his head pop up over that desk.
Well, finally, we've got some spring, some real spring. I mean, a week ago, it was still stinking miserable, you know? But there are actual leaves on most of the trees. They're beautiful. They're brand new. They're fresh. They're good. What, we got a call already?
We got a call. Hey, you're on with Mike Winters.
Oh, what do you mean you're not as old as dirt?
I'm not. I'm older than rocks.
Well, based on soil testing, I would think that you're probably fairly equivalent.
Oh, I see.
Oh, he's stronger than dirt.
Uh-huh. I'm going to turn into petrified wood here pretty quick, so watch it.
Careful.
Wow.
I'm not too far behind you.
I do have a question, though.
Okay.
Oh, this is not a crank call?
So I finally bought some Casserone to put out in the yard.
Casserone in the yard, okay.
Or I mean, not in the yard, but in the to get the like in the beds, right?
Okay, well that's good.
Not in the grass because it doesn't go in the grass, right?
That's true. It's not fertilizer; it's killer.
Okay, right. So I've got some grass popping up and some things like that in the rocks. Mm-hmm. Do I need to wear gloves when I'm putting it out there?
Definitely. And if you have a one of those face masks that you know, the little paper face mask, if you could wear that, that might be a double security for you. But definitely gloves. And
so those are toxic is not the right word, but they just have a strong chemical then.
Yes, and that's what kills stuff. So we don't want you killed. Okay, protect yourself.
And leave the dogs in the house while I'm doing that.
Yes, and leave them in there for a while, because after you apply the Casserone, you've got a water, so it activates. And after it's been watered and activated, you could let the dogs out.
So I do have to water afterwards. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you the truth, Kyle.
Well, see, I thought I would check with you rather than actually read the instructions on the bag.
Well, I don't blame you. I've never read the instructions on the bag.
No. I wouldn't have thought about watering, but that actually makes total sense now.
Yeah, well, that's what actually begins the activation of the chemical.
Ah, perfectly. Well, that may be one of my projects if I can ever get done with everything else I'm doing over here on the third floor of the corporate complex.
Well, good.
All right. Thank you for that information.
Well, you're sure welcome, sir, and I appreciate the call.
And what a great radio station this is.
I know. What a great gardener guy I am, too.
Yeah, and I'm not, apparently.
No, I'm not a good radio guy, so what the heck? I don't know anything.
Well, you've had a show for 20 years, and I've had shows for, well, we won't talk about how old that is.
Are you older than dirt?
No.
No, he's younger than I am. So.
Oh, my gosh, he must be only 70 then. Yeah,
I'm much younger than Dale is.
Much younger, my friend. Okay, I believe you.
And I can walk a lot more miles.
We know that. Yes. That has been seen around town.
All right, very good. Back to work. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for the
call,
I think.
All righty.
Oh, golly. Well, it's good to be harassed by the staff here. You know, it keeps me on my toes, and I'm glad they're listening. So, at any rate, like I began to say, the leaves on most trees are out and growing, and they're absolutely pristine. This is the best time of year for like photos or anything like that. That you, if you see those shrubs that are blooming, mm-hmm. and there's rhodies blooming everywhere, there's azaleas blooming everywhere. Not all of them come at the same time.
Yeah.
And just like the trees, you know, when the trees started out, actually the willows way back, oh gosh, at least a month or so ago, were the first to begin to leaf out, and they are early every year.
Mm.
And then the flowering trees, you know, flowering cherries, plums, that kind of thing, they started to bloom out about a week later after the willows. And now, of course, the big leaf maples are popping out with their large green leaves, etc. They're looking really, really good. And oaks are always the last to push leaves, usually several weeks after all the other trees. Even the Japanese maples are leafed out now for the most part.
Yeah.
Not so much at my house because I don't get as much sun as neighborhoods. And my canyon only gives me about 7 or 8 hours of sun in a day, which I like.
Yeah, especially after it's like 100 plus.
Yeah, and especially around June.
Yeah.
You know, the sun goes behind the ridge at like 6:15, and the shade begins. And then as soon as the shade begins, there's a cool breeze that comes up the creek.
Nice.
You know, so we have, and that's when my wife opens all the windows and the mm-hmm. doors and everything, and I'll let that breeze blow through. Boy, it's really.
You're never going to sell that place, are you?
Never.
Don't blame him.
Never.
Hey, my Easter lily's blooming.
Good.
I thought it was dead, but
well, you think everything that you have is dead.
I know.
You complain about the dead's this and the dead that, and you have to learn patience.
Mm.
Plants just don't come out when you want them. They come out when it's time.
And that vine from Hades. It's a growing too.
Oh, good. Why don't you let it grow and see how big it'll get?
Well, I try, but sometimes, I'll do that. I'll just leave it
alone.
You know,
and who knows what it's going to turn into.
That's true.
You know, and let it roll over your roof and choke people or whatever.
Into my living room window.
Yeah, that wants to watch the cartoons or something. You know, you never know. Oh, gosh. But spring is beautiful. I love it. It's my favorite time of year from now till about the 1st of July when it starts to get summery.
Yeah.
But if we were to have a few more rainstorms between now and then this prolongs the spring. And prolongs,
it certainly is possible.
It is possible. And it also continues to saturate the ground. And, you know, and then when you have sufficient moisture and native stuff, they just do so much better. They look good for months, and they get good growth, and we haven't had that in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years because it's been the rainfall has been insufficient.
Been
for
a severe drought.
Yeah, severe, absolutely severe. Just listen to the governor or the president, for crying out loud. Yeah, or the Chinese, whatever. But it's always a process of several weeks for leaves to appear on all trees. I mean, they don't all pop out the same day. And that's why I said the willows are first. They, for crying out loud, those willows, I think, were pushing leaves in February. And we were still having snow and ice, you know, and cold. Yeah. But they don't care. I mean, they just, go ahead.
Boy, they got to be tough.
Oh, they are tough. And they're tough to get rid of, too, if you happen to have some in your yard that are growing wild. You know, you think, oh, I'll cut them down and make them go away. And then they go, thank you. And then they pop up with six more branches.
Yeah.
So it's a never-ending process. So, but enjoy the spring. It's just a good time to be alive and look at it, enjoy it. Take the time to sit down in your backyard, front yard, wherever, or in a park, and just look at all the trees. Mm. Look at all the shrubs that are blooming. And there's so many bulbs. It seems like we've got every block you go, there's bulbs, there's tulips, there's daffodils, there's, you know, everything is just...
they're all different colors.
Yes, yes. It's just a riot of color, and it's good. But this prolonged... What, we have a call?
We have another call.
Oh, hello.
Hey there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Thank you. I have a question that I know you've talked about before, but I've forgotten your answer.
Well, I'm not going to tell you again. I'm sorry. What's your question?
So I planted four young trees, and you said once it stops raining, how often to water them so I don't overwater them, and I'd forgotten if it was 2 weeks or a month or more between good watering.
So what type of trees are these?
Japanese maple.
Oh, Japanese maple are not a water-loving type tree, and you can kill them very easily by overwatering. And do you have them in like in a planter bed or something like that?
Or no, they're in the ground.
Okay, but in the middle of a lawn or what?
Yes.
Okay. Now, does the lawn get irrigated regularly?
No.
Good, because that would be very detrimental to the Japanese maples. But one trick that I always recommend is if you think it's time to water, go out and dig a little hole beside the tree, you know, a foot away from the tree where the root systems would be. Dig down in there and see how moist the soil is. And if the soil is moist, it does not need water. If you dig down, say, 4 or 5, 6 inches and it's just dry, that's when you need to give it a good soak. And a good soak might be a gallon per tree. And that should be good for 2 to 3 weeks, and then another gallon per tree. And then as it gets warmer, hotter, like July, August, September, you want to, and this is their first year in the ground?
Yes, okay. They started themselves in a pot.
Okay. Well, so they're not very large at this point.
Well, one's at least 3 foot tall. Okay. One's 2 foot tall.
Okay. Well, you want to give them that time to set a good root system. And like I say, too much moisture will actually rot the roots, which are the very first roots that come out, are feeder roots, and they're like the size of a hair, you know, that's, and if you get too much water in there, they rot very quickly, and it stops the feeding process to the rest of the tree, and your first indicator is that the leaves will start to curl up and turn brown on the ends of the leaves, and that is the best indicator of overwatering. So watch your leaves as they come out. And if they're looking good, and just leave it alone. Don't water it. Now, if the leaves begin to get droopy, let's say you hadn't watered in 2 weeks, and the leaves are looking a little droopy in a month, and they're just kind of sagging down and hanging there, that's an indicator that it needs water. So you would...
Okay.
Is this clear to you?
Yes. Okay. I need to dig a little and see what the dirt is like.
Yep.
2 to 4 inches.
Yep.
And then give them a gallon apiece.
If it's dry.
When it stops raining.
Yes.
If it's dry.
If it's dry down 4 or 5 inches, it means it's probably got some moisture at the bottom of the hole. But, you know, the first time around, you might give them each a half a gallon just to see, just to test the soil, your soil in your yard, and then watch them closely, and then, you know, check them again in another 2 weeks and see how that soil moisture is. Once you've done this 3 or 4 times, you'll get the feel of how often they need water. And then after the first year in the ground, they do well this year, they're going to have a good established root system, and the following spring and summer, you're going to water even less. I have Japanese maples planted on my hillside that I haven't watered in years, and they're gorgeous. When the first year I did what I'm telling you, and then the second year I did about half that much, and after that I just let them go, just to test them, just to see, are they that tough? Yes, they are. They're that tough. They look good. They grow well. They just don't need a whole lot of water.
Thank you.
Does that help?
For that information.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you write it all down?
No, but I have a pretty good rememberer.
Okay, good. And if you forget, call back.
I will. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for the call.
All right, and there's always a podcast at 541radio.com.
Yes, I forgot to say that, didn't I?
We help each other out.
Yeah, well, I need a lot of help.
What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464. If you have any kind of a question, please don't hesitate to call. I'll give you all the right scoop.
News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, you ready for this, Mike? It says right there it's moved up to 80 degrees.
80 degrees?
Yes. I wonder if that's a record for this time of year.
I don't know.
Kyle will tell us.
80's not bad, though.
No, that feels good.
Not after we've had 4 months of 36, you know. 80's not bad.
That's about right.
I know. But... you know, I was talking about leaves, leaf appearance, and how trees leaf out in the spring and the timelines that are associated with that. And then the last types of trees that will begin to push new growth are the conifers, the firs, the pines, the cedars, those kinds of things. As I ride my four-wheeler up my hill to check on my water supply every day, I'm always looking at the buds on the conifers, and they're starting to swell, and if we had, oh gosh, another week of this kind of weather, they would probably start to pop and open up and then elongate and start the growth period. Yeah. But they're always the last to come out. The deciduous types, the leaf types, like I said, those are usually the first to come out, so it's a good sign. We have a great spring here, and hopefully the summer will maybe not get into the hundreds. I can't stand it when it gets that hot.
Yeah, just... time springs a little late, but it continues to go.
Yeah, a normal year would be great. A normal average temperature, average rainfall would be really great. So the conifers are going to be the last things that pop out. Now, the positive side of early slow growth is that soil moisture is at a level to last for a longer period of time, and it's going to create a longer growing season because of that, especially for our native shrubs and trees.
Mm, okay.
Because if they have that soil moisture, you'll have root growth. You have root growth, you have top growth. I mean,
makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And if you don't have any root growth, that means you killed a tree, and then nothing's going to happen. And that happens when you overwater. I've only said that 300,000 times.
And one.
Yeah, and one. But, you know, over the past 3 years, and I pay attention to this, it's just my my interest there. But over the past 3 years, we've experienced a shorter growing season due to the lack of average rainfall.
Yep.
Not so much in suburban areas that have sprinkler systems and things like that in neighborhoods, but in the woods, in the places where nature is king, and even in the farming community that we have around here, they've had to bump up their watering simply because of the soil moisture being depleted so early in the season. This year they won't have to. And then another another good thing about delaying your sprinkler systems and all that is you're going to save money on your water bill that was so atrocious for the last 3 or 4 years.
Keeps going zing, up, like the temperature.
Yeah, like, you know, hey, it's rain, man. Don't tell me it costs that much. I know it doesn't. But the drought does cause a shorter growing season. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And because the trees, to survive, can only expend so much energy, and they know, you know, by the moisture in the soil, hey, it's time to quit the growth. So on some trees, some shrubs, say over the last five years, they didn't grow to their normal average. A fir tree can grow 2 feet in a year,
mm-hmm.
Side branches, top, and all that stuff. But that's in a primo year. That's in a great year. But when you have the drought, they cut themselves off from their growth because they want to survive to the following spring. They're smarter than people, for crying out loud. and they don't talk.
Yeah.
But they just do it naturally. Hey, there's not enough soil moisture. We're stopping the growth, period. And so new growth that they do have hardens off. You know how, like on a Doug fir, I don't know if you're familiar with this, when the needles first pop out, they're light green and they're real tender looking and all that.
They look like little babies.
Exactly. Well, when that soil moisture factor is involved there, it's going to continue to grow fairly good until not enough moisture, and then they harden off automatically.
Oh.
They just know. I mean, that's how they're built. That's how they live. That's how they survive. So
do they stay there or do they drop off?
They'll usually stay there, except in extreme circumstances where maybe in June you got a week of 100-degree weather with little water. You're
going to
see, you're going to see some death, because as I've said in the past, when I've driven around out through Dixonville or up Glide or anything like that, Melrose area, you see young trees, especially young meaning they're 10, 12, 14 feet tall, 6 inches in diameter, something like that, and really too close together, but there's only so much moisture that they're all fighting for, and so consequently some of them are deprived, and those are the ones that turn brown.
Yep.
And
do they come back or no?
No. Once they start turning brown like that, they're done.
Uh-huh.
You know, a Doug fir or a pine, or now pines are tougher than Doug fir. They're more tolerant of drought, and so are cedars. So we got a call.
We do have another call. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
How are you?
Good. What's up?
So,
what do you got?
It's gonna be 91 on Friday.
I know.
That is. But I have a question. I haven't started my garden, but I don't plant by seed. I plant by plant in my vegetable garden.
Me too.
Can I put casseron in there?
Can you put what around them?
Casseron.
No, I just plant them and just see what's happening. And if you think you need it, then you can add it to it.
Oh, so it won't affect your vegetables or any kind of toxicity in the vegetables if I use casseron?
Yeah, it will. That's why you don't want to get them too close to the plants.
Okay.
If you're just doing the perimeter to keep weeds out of the perimeter from expanding into your garden, that's one thing. But you don't want to put them in the vegetables, near the vegetables.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And do you know where I can get good organic vegetable starch?
Most places have them, but you can go to Wintergreen. I know we have a whole brand new stock of vegetables in there. Of course, I'm not the owner anymore, but the new owner has them.
Are they organic, Mike?
As far as I know, they are, but a phone call would either confirm or deny.
Because, I know, I'm kind of silly asking about casseron in organic plants, right?
Well, there's some opposites there.
Yeah, okay, well, thank you. Happy gardening. Stay cool.
Okay, well, thank you for the call.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty, we'll be right back. And Mike, what's our number there?
673-4464. Any questions, fair game.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty.
We are back, eh?
Yep.
Well, we've had two fine calls so far, so keep them coming.
Would you call that one a call, the first one?
Who?
That first call, would you really dignify that as a caller?
Well, of course. Why?
Okay.
Oh, the very first one,
yes,
that nobody heard.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. That was a strange guy.
We love you, Kyle.
Yeah, don't worry, Kyle. We're on your side, okay? Oh, geez. But, you know, over the past 3 years, I know maybe five, but I know for over the last past 3 years, we've experienced a shorter growing season in the natural arena due to the lack of average rainfall. It's that simple, because the trees, they are survivors, the shrubs, the wild stuff. I'm talking stuff on the hillsides that have any kind of soil. They shut down early. They didn't grow as much because there wasn't the moisture to push the growth. And this was notable last August by premature leaf drop as early as August and September, where most of the maples and leaf trees that are out there in the wild country, they usually keep their leaves till at least September and maybe start to turn. Ooh, in September.
Yeah, when it starts cooling off.
Yeah, and October.
Yeah.
But this last year and a few previous years, I saw, well, in my place for sure, trees that were up on the slopes where there's a lot of sunlight, they're dropping their leaves in August. And it's just a survival technique for the tree.
Not good.
Exactly. And so I think this year we'll see a different kind of fall. And, there's just that way they'll survive and get their normal growth pattern back. If we have... two or three years of this more normal precipitation.
They won't know what to do.
Yeah, they'll just go crazy growing so much and go, what are we doing, man? We're growing. But
then the governor comes along.
Oh, gosh. Let's not go there.
No.
But trees and shrubs in our yards did not experience that same growth pattern simply because we water our yards through the summer. So consequently, they weren't water deprived. They didn't go into their drought mode.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them in our yards, which are not native to our area, you know, whether it's a fruit tree or, you know, just a shrub of some sort that it's not native to our area. It's grown somewhere else naturally and imported here to nurseries, and you buy them because they're pretty. With normal watering and normal whatever normal is, normal watering, normal weather patterns, they do fine. But you get into that drought situation, they require more water. You know, you hit August or so, and they're going to need more water clear into the maybe the end of September to survive and get through for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when it's that dry and that warm, it's kind of hard. I know I preach on overwatering all the time, but when you get into those extreme drought conditions, I don't think you can overwater much unless it's in a pot or something like that, as long as it
drains well.
Drains well, exactly. And, of course, clay doesn't drain worth beans, but that's okay. But you'll notice if you live near or in a forested area, you'll have noticed that in the last, like I say, 3 to 5 years, the conifers like Douglas fir and pine haven't had their usual robust growth, and as I said earlier, in some areas, lots of young Douglas fir died because of it. Mm. And
that's a shame.
Yeah.
It really is.
And it was not just trees that were planted by landowners, but they were natural stands of Douglas fir that were, like I say, were, gosh, 12, 15 feet tall and had been growing very well. But, you know, year after year after year, if you have substandard water,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they can only go so long without getting a drink. You know?
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's just, whoa.
Just like everybody else.
That's right. And But the lack of the soil moisture is the whole key to that. And this occurred on south and west exposures, of course, because they have maximum sunshine and maximum heat, whereas on the north slopes, where they get shady in the afternoons and the evenings and it's just naturally cooler, you didn't experience that same kind of thing.
Mm.
And where I saw this the most was, let's say I had a bid and glide. Well, sometimes if I got the time, I would take the cutoff road and go out through Mignola Farms and that road and connect with the North Umpqua up a ways.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's where some of those open pasture lands that were pastures had fringes of trees that I noticed the most death that was occurring.
Mm.
And, of course, I'm going to go through that again this spring and just kind of verify what I saw in years past and go. But this is nature's way of thinning, and only the toughest survive.
Yep.
So if they can survive that, you know, you got a tree that's going to be there a while.
Yeah.
And then the dry conditions also open the door to insect infestation in the native tree stands.
Yeah, come on in, buddies.
Yeah, because the trees are in a weakened. I mean, you get a horde of whatever kind of insects that are coming through, migrating wherever they think they're going.
China.
And they get into a stand of, you know, it could be Doug fir or pine or whatever, but Doug fir seems most susceptible. And if the firs are in a weakened condition, they can't fight off. They don't have the wherewithal to fight off the bug attack.
They're so weak.
Like if you had if you were not feeling good and you got pneumonia or something like that. I mean, you
it just hangs on.
Yeah, it hangs on. Yeah, I know. but the strong, hardy ones, oaks, madrones, you know, they've got a better chance of survival.
The mighty oak.
When insects invade. I don't think you can hurt an oak or a madrone. I mean,
during the break, I'll tell you what we did to an oak.
Okay, well, it better be nice. Oh, gosh. But the insects that might attack a madrone or an oak or something like that, they're going to cause some damage, but they're not going to cause death. You know, they'll eat on some leaves and things like that, or whatever they do, or maybe bore into the cambium layer or something. But those trees are so tough that they can withstand those kinds of attacks, and that's good. So my advice is to look around your yard, and if you see shrubs or trees that have been struggling, you know, the past few years, give them a good pruning and cut all the dead and weak branches out. They're not going to, if they're weak and barely have any leaves or
nasty
anything
looking.
Like that,
yeah.
Get rid of those. They're all they're going to do is draw a little bit of sustenance from the root system. But if you've got, say, 10 branches and three of them are looking bad, take those three out. And then prune the ones that are good, prune them down a little bit so that the root system doesn't have to work as hard to get the nutrition and the water to them, and they will survive. And you know, they're tough that way. And that's even counting rhodies and azaleas and things like that.
Wow.
And a lot of folks always think that rhodies need a lot of water or azaleas need a lot of water. They don't. They grow natural up the North Umpqua.
How about lilacs?
They're tougher than natives.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. If you could plant a lilac in a paved parking lot and it would grow, I think. Yeah, I'm serious.
That's probably why Mom still had them. Dad tried to get rid of everything she had.
Yeah, no luck on that, partner. I'll tell you what. But by removing those weak branches, the more energy and nutrition is available to the branches that you do leave. You know, it's just a balancing act. And, you know, and if you are a pruner and not afraid to prune, which a lot of folks are afraid to prune, your shrub or your tree becomes tougher because they're survivors, if you will. And the stronger the plant becomes, it's better equipped to fight fungus or insect attack or dry, hot conditions.
Because you've given it
the pruning that it needs, and say and this is something maybe that you can't water or it's a long way to water or something like that. Well, if there's less branches, it can survive. It needs less water. It needs less nutrition, and so consequently, it's a survivor.
So, that makes sense. I'm relating that to a car engine. The more stuff you have on it, the harder the engine has to work.
Exactly. Bingo. That's good analogy on your part. I would have never thought about that because I don't like cars. I like pickup trucks.
Good man.
No, I'm not a mechanic by any stretch of the imagination. I can do minor things, but the other ones, I have my favorite mechanics around who actually know what they're doing.
Yeah, one of my daughters is turning into a pretty good mechanic. So.
Well, good. Hire her.
I have.
Oh, gosh. Well, and if you don't prune those damaged or dead wood out of there, the bugs or the fungus or whatever might be attacking will continue to feast on the live wood that's surrounding it, and it's just spread. It's contagious. It
gross.
Just spreads. It spreads to the good branches.
Yeah.
And and after you've done the pruning, make sure you pick up all your prunings and toss them in a trash can or get them away from your yard, because you don't want any new bugs hatching out in the prunings that you just did.
No.
You know.
Yeah, start it all over again.
Yeah, remove their home and their food source. And,
burn them.
And you're burn them. Well, not in July, though.
No.
No, you should have pruned them already, so they're ready to go.
What do you say we take a break?
If you say so.
All righty. More on the other side on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Oh, Lordy. We do have our fun, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Good thing they don't listen. They don't hear us when we're taking a break.
Speaking of which, what is our phone number?
673-4464. You always ask me that. I mean, I can't
remember it.
You expect me to forget it?
I can remember the 4464, but that's I can't good. Remember whether it's 672 or 3.
It's 3.
It's 3. Okay.
You know, we got calls in already.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Tattoo that on your arm.
Why in the world did the phone company ever do that to us?
I don't know.
That's confusing.
Well, for the past month or so, I've been warning folks about premature planting of vegetable plants because we did have some inclement weather, if you will. And you know, why test those little tiny plants that are in the little tiny pots and they're grown up in a greenhouse and all of a sudden you plant them in this wet, cold ground and then it freezes for 4 days in a row and you wonder, well, gee whiz, why did that turn brown? Well, it wasn't warm enough, that's why. With all the weather we were having was, you know, not good spring weather, but now the weather's getting warmer. And all of my advice that I gave you 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago doesn't count now. Go ahead. Get it done. Start your planting of vegetables. And unless we get some freak weather system roll in, I believe it's good to go. It's good to get them done. Now, a word of caution when planting the small vegetable plants. Of course, the weather guessers, I call them the weather guessers, are calling for temps in the 90-degree range. Make sure you plant those tiny vegetable plants early in the morning or after the sun is down. It'll be less shock to those small root systems. And then water while it's still cool and get them good and soaky. Not overdoing it, but get them good and soaky. And not in the heat of the day or in the full sun because, you know, only maybe 50% of that water will actually reach the plant. So, again, test the soil daily to check for moisture. Damp, leave it alone. And if the heat continues for a week, you're just going to have to water accordingly. You test it and it's dry and the plants are small and they're struggling. Give them a good shot of water. Don't soak them. Just enough for a good drink to keep them alive. Not too much at any one time. And if it cools down for a spell, ease off on the water. You know, this advice is mainly for first-time gardeners, but if you're an old-time gardener and you don't know these things, you better pay attention.
All right.
What?
I think we have time to squeeze this caller in.
We got a call. All right.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, thank you very much. I am new to Oregon, and I've heard the term Oregon clay.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to plant some root vegetables in my garden, but it's you know, full of Oregon clay. What's the best way to treat that?
Well, there are several ways. First of all, the positive side of the clay is that it doesn't drain quickly, so it's chock full of nutrition. So that's a good thing. You want to till the existing soil up as soon as it's tillable, and you might have to till it, you know, on a Monday and then till it again on a Friday or a Saturday, because once you till up the first batch, it'll be kind of chunky and still wet maybe, and the air and the sun will dry it out, so the second time you till it, it breaks up very nicely. But then you want to add some potting soil or some sand or some topsoil. Oh, and then re-till it one last time, and what you then have is a good mix of the clay and of good topsoil and say potting soil, and you're going to have good success in planting your vegetables in that.
Okay, what was that third addition you said? Sand, potting soil.
Potting soil, and you can even do fine grind bark mulch, old fine grind bark mulch. What you want is something that's going to drain well, and promote root production as the season goes on.
Okay, very good. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for calling and welcome.
All righty, take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yes, welcome to the Beaver State.
Yes, they got beavers here?
That's what they tell me.
Well, you know, in all my years here, I think I've only seen two.
I don't know if I've ever seen any.
You know?
You know, now I think about it.
Yeah, and it was always...
I've seen ducks.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there's a lot of ducks, man. There are ducks all over the stinking place. Go to Stewart Park. You'll get surrounded by ducks. But, yeah, and the beavers that I have seen are usually in high elevation wilderness areas or, you know, not where there's a lot of folks.
Oh,
and
they're little shy creatures.
Well, yeah, they don't like people. It's simple. People make their life miserable.
They chop down their dams.
Yeah, they do. I don't know if I have enough time to get on our next subject about lawns, so I'll save that for next week. But I do appreciate all the calls that we've had today, and hopefully that,
you got a couple of minutes yet.
I know, but
okay.
We don't have time for another call, I don't think.
Maybe. Nope, not if it.
But if you want to squeeze in a quick one, it's 673-4464.
We'll do a quickie.
Yep, and make it a simple question so I don't have to give you an elaborate answer. No, I love questions, and it's good. And the reason I do it is because I want to educate and help gardeners out there, help people that are landscaping, and let them know how to have success with their lawn, their trees, their shrubs, their vegetables, you know, the whole nine yards. That's the purpose of this show. Mm-hmm. That was the purpose of this show when I started it 20 years ago.
No, at least.
Jeez Louise. 20 years ago. Where did it all go?
And 20 years ago and four children later.
Yeah, well, I don't know. A couple of them anyway.
Yeah.
But hopefully you'll listen on a consistent basis, and as I think of what I want to talk about each week, I look at what's happening outside. I look at, I'm all around the county, mm-hmm. and I see the rate of growth. I see the farmers, what they're doing to their fields and in a timely fashion. And farmers are very smart people, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And
they know when to do it.
They know when to till, they know when to plant, and they know, and they get good produce.
They get that inkling and they just know.
Bingo. That's right.
Well, we'll catch you next week there, Mike.
Okay, and thank you for listening, and I enjoy the show.
All right. Thank you, sir.